You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got Vegas Bad Boys here with me, and this is your three count. It's good to see you here, fellas. We're going to have some pretty good, interesting conversations here from three topics that was chosen. Let's get to our first count.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
And both of these are from WrestlingInc.com. The first one is backstage news on the recent WWE contract offers to Retribution in the main roster call-ups. And we also tie that into exclusive WWE reportedly recently passed on the signing of top ROH wrestler. So let's get right into it. From the first one I named, it talks about that it was noted that WWE offered deals to each member of Retribution group, not including the leader, Mustafa Ali. And it is $250,000 per year, three-year deal, which is significantly lower than a lot of the incoming contract offers that WWE has made in the last 2 years during a period where there has been more competition from other promotions, but also at a time where COVID-19 pandemic has had impact on everything. So some of the recent WWE call-ups were told that they could possibly renegotiate their offers when and if things change, but there's no word on if Retribution members or extended the same courtesy, or even if they actually signed. Going back now to the Ring of Honor wrestler we mentioned, that is Rush, who is the Ring of Honor world champion. And
his name again.
Who's the Impact, the Ring of Honor world champion. And we, what we're going to do is we're going to have this particular discussion. I'm ignoring you, Matt Michaels. We're going to continue because I'm on a time limit. I don't want to get fired from you guys for for not being on a quick time limit. All right.
That was a good one.
Thank you. All right. So let's just go right into it. What is your take on you guys when you hear this? First off, to me, $250,000. I guess I really don't know what the average rate for wrestlers making. I'm thinking 3 years in your Retribution of that. First off, that seemed like great money to me. I would be like, where do I sign? I'm ready. But apparently they must know that that's less amount of money of that. And, you know, if you now have the ROH champion deciding to not want to come over. I mean, this would be big to have him over into WWE, but looking at the contract going, no, I think my worth is a lot more. I don't know. What's you guys take when you guys hear this story? Let's go.
I don't have no problem with it. I mean, shit, if you're going to pay me $250,000 per year for 3 years to wear a mask and be a part of one of the worst, stinkiest gimmicks in WWE history, yeah, I'm like you, Impact. Where do I sign? It's not the worst thing happened. And most likely, I don't think it's based on entirely this them being Retribution. It's probably just their base contract for those 3 years for each individual. So even if Retribution doesn't go any further, you know, they're still going to, you know, have a job, apparently.
I mean, for what's, again, dealing that we are living in the time of COVID and, you know, WWE has made quite a few changes with their contracts. That should be kind of understanding, would you say, Sin City, that, you know, this is being offered to you? And, you know, do you think that this is fair, or maybe it isn't fair? And what do you think about, you know, not having the ROH champion look at this and say, hey, I think I want to take this on?
Well, so I think that there are multiple ways to look at this. We can't put ourselves in the perspective of any of the individuals that were extended these contracts, because true, we're not in their exact situation.
That's true.
So accordingly, it's going to be different for yes, everybody. Now there may be some people that'll just, you know, jump and sign at the first contract that's put in their faces. Which if they do that, that's completely cool. That's, you know, good on them. They're making the best decision that they can make for themselves. Now, keep in mind, that 250,000 is now a much better number than what it once was, because now you're not having the constant travel. You're not having the constant, mm-hmm, you know, having to be in a different city almost every night, the rigorous touring schedule that these guys and gals were used to.
Right.
So I think that we need to keep in mind these contracts are probably lower because they're adjusting for the change in the business and the needs of the business, stipulating that everything's going to stay pretty local to Florida. So it's interesting to get everyone's input on it. And definitely interesting that someone like Roosh didn't see the $250,000 as a good type of a contract. So that must mean that he is being floated numbers that are probably much higher in other locations. So we shall see what happens with that.
Yeah. Matt Michaels, what do you think, man?
You know, I think I like the fact that this Roosh talk is coming out of kind of nowhere, because in all honesty, do any of you really want to see him in an NXT?
No.
WWE? Yeah,
no.
See? I take that back. I would like to see him in NXT, but not as how we see him in the capacity of ROH. I want to see him get with the stable Phantasma in them as an addition, but
y'all know no, where I want him to go.
You want him to go AEW? Okay.
Of course.
For fuck's sake, you could have him. Because the fact of the matter is
I think he would be great at AEW.
But he, you know what? The thing is, though, is that he draws to your Hispanic crowd better than he draws to your white crowd. Mm-hmm. So is it going to be a curse for him? Because he's not great on the mic.
Let him cut promos in Spanish.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Let him cut promos in Spanish. And
you have to play to it. But yeah, but is a major company willing to let him do that now in this day and age?
Why not?
I don't know.
Let him be the one that they try that with. And if it catches on, you know, who knows what'll happen. Maybe they'll have someone on commentary in real time, you know, interpreting and kind of saying under the promo what the wrestler is actually saying, which they do that for some people in New Japan. If you watch the English commentary, they've got somebody that will actually translate in real time the Japanese promos, which I think is really cool. And I think that AEW certainly could benefit from something like that. Yep. Yeah, and especially if we're talking about someone with the talent and skill set of Roosh, shit, all day.
And I was just gonna say that's the whole reason why it would work, because if you outside of his linguistic skills, all right, he's amazing. You see what I'm saying? So why would you not pull the trigger on that? And do we just figure out how we're gonna do this later on? Whether we stick him with a manager that can translate, maybe not word for word, or we do exactly what Sin City Steve was saying. I mean, like, that's WWE's loss that they passed on that.
But it's not them pulling the trigger.
Then what is it?
Roosh is controlling it. He won't sign for that type of money.
And he shouldn't. I mean, you need to know what you're worth. And you have to draw a line in the sand.
It's not in the hands of the company. It's the hands of him. yeah. And the problem with this theory is this. If you play yourself into what Steve said, where there's multiple offers, let's say that all the offers are fairly close. There's a chance that he can get less than what he could have gotten now for any number of reasons. You know, he might get hurt within the next, you know, 2 weeks before he signs a new contract or something like that. So you have different factors. And the fact of the matter is that let's say WWE was the only offer out there that was into 200,000. So now, you know, if you are turning that down, making it look like you have higher offers, it might play against them, especially if there's not a higher offer out there.
Yeah, also, Javon in the chat room, he says he also mentions Dragon Lee.
Yep.
You know.
Definitely. And honestly, I mean, those two guys are brothers. So, mm-hmm. you know, have AEW sign both of them. Have them bring them in. Hell, if nothing else, have them bring them in and feud them immediately with the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah, do that shit. Do that shit and just print money.
You know, so. It's really funny, though. You just said Lucha Bros, and there you go. There's the example. That's Roosh.
Yeah.
I mean, why are they not more popular or on top of the card? And it's because of the fact that if they were white guys speaking English,
right,
they would be champion.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, you know, have Roosh and Dragon Lee show up and get into a feud with the Lucha Bros. You know, maybe it develops into a situation where you've got Roosh that establishes himself as a leader, and have all four of those guys even in the same group in like down the line. You know, it really just depends. But I think that number one, AEW needs to get that second block of TV that has been rumored for so long. Unless they do that, none of this shit happens. They're not going to bring in anyone else because they have too many people on a roster right now and not enough time.
So what you do is you bring in Roosh in a wig and you put him as your women's division champion.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I almost thought we went through that whole segment without you mucking it up with your shit, Michaels.
Oh, here we go. He's scat talking again. So,
well, you've been goat talking for the longest. So, I mean, you surpassed me with goat talk.
I wish I knew what that number was that he was offered that he declined. I'm wondering, was he insulted or was he just like, I just think it should be more, you know? So, who knows? I know Retribution, I'm sure, is like, hey, man, we don't have to take 250, we'll take 150.
What did Meltzer say? What did the great prophet Meltzer say? Then he probably knows.
Well, we'll move on to our second count, which is from, let me get this here. All right, ringsidenews.com, and it's titled, Eric Bischoff Breaks Down Why Fans Dislike Goldberg. So let me just quote what he says. I think it goes back to the beginning of Goldberg's career. Bill Goldberg became a megastar almost overnight. And as a result of that, Bill Goldberg was thrust into the limelight in main event matches with top-level talent without really having the experience that would enable him to have longer, more dramatic type of matches that you would see out of Sting or a Chris Jericho or you name it, any of those other type stars. I mean, I think because of Bill Goldberg's limited experience in the very beginning, and the fact that Bill didn't really develop a much broader skill set in terms of his technical abilities in the ring, fans sometimes look at Bill Goldberg as a limited star in terms of in-ring ability. I think there's some resentment in the eyes of the fans for that. They understand the character, how powerful the character is, but because of the limitations that he has in terms of what he can do in the ring, I think there's a little bit of resentment or resistance to Bill Goldberg. And, of course, in that article, they were also comparing that to the fact that You know, I guess the author started off saying that nostalgia is rampant in pro wrestling, and fans recently saw Sting debut for AEW, which was followed by Goldberg's return to WWE, and each of those events sparked a different reaction from fans, and there's a reason for that. So, is there a reason for that? Let's talk about it, guys, here. You had Sting on one. I guess he celebrated. Goldberg shows up, but it's like, oh, boy, here we go again. Why is that? Let's go.
Simply put, Sting isn't showing up and demanding world title matches. No, I seriously.
I'm with like, you.
That's my entire argument with – we've talked about this a couple of times on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, why am I getting pissed off when I see Goldberg on my TV, but I don't hate it when I see Sting on my TV? That's the number one thing. I see Sting as more of a supporter role, whereas I see Goldberg being used to take a spot from somebody that could benefit from being in that spot.
That's all bullshit nowadays.
Okay.
Nope. Well, explain the
explain it though. Yeah, that's a great. That seriously.
Well, it comes down to this though. You said take a spot.
Yeah.
No one's taking spots anymore. It's a television fucking show. At some point, you got to just, you know, go ahead and say, all right, if we want to draw eyes, we use something that we've used before. And that's what they do. But I think the point of this, what floors me with him saying this, being Bischoff, mm-hmm. is this.
Oh, I guess it was just too much to handle. Perfect. For that bandwidth.
That's the best you've sounded all night, Michaels.
We agree 100%, by the way.
That's the best you've sounded all night.
He's back on. Go ahead, man.
No, but, you know, that's what it comes down to, is that Bischoff is the one who created the monster, and it's, Bischoff is the one who created the monster, and that is what it comes down to. Is here he is talking about Goldberg not having a skill set, but you ran with the money. So
it's funny. Storm and Mormon did say, hey, Matt and I have the same reaction about Sting appearing. Nitro from 2000 called and said, we've seen it before. But let me ask you this though.
Did also say literally in the message right before that too, though, he said, full disclosure, I'm still pissed about Goldberg beating the Fiend at Blood Money in the Bank last February.
He did say
so
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you guys this about Goldberg though. Cause I didn't watch Goldberg when he was in his prime of WCW, but when I did catch a few matches, yes, he had those three moves, but they seem really powerful. It was so that once you get jackhammered, is that what it was? Speared. Once you go through one of these three, it was a wrap. It really was sold that way. I mean, could that not? I mean, you say it's not a skill set, but is it? Can't you give props to, if that's what he's being built on and he's performing in such a way, why can't that be accepted as him being that way? And even now, if that's the same gimmick that he's had that he's still portraying now, why can't it still be accepted? I mean, why does he need more skill set is what I'm saying, according to Bischoff, that fans are not happy about because come in and knock out two moves and be evolved. Done.
The business has changed and evolved.
Okay, but maybe for him it didn't.
That's why a lot of people are upset about things. Is, you know, people are more amped up about moves and spots and matches and not so much about characters and booking, seemingly storylines, emotional investment in characters,
spot monkeys. That's all
exactly. People. No, that I'm agreeing with you, Michaels.
Yeah,
but you guys do see a difference between, or you don't see a difference between Sting, that reaction and Goldberg's reaction. Because I know
Goldberg is not going to – listen, fans are not going to give Goldberg a proper due because so many fans fucking hate him. The truth of the matter is that Goldberg at his age, going in the ring and challenging Drew is more believable than Sting coming out in face paint again and he can't do anything anymore. Yeah. You know, and you can say, well, he could get in a three-man tag and do his one move, you know, do the splash or whatever, you know. Okay, yeah. Goldberg still goes in there and wrestles his 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever they have him go. But he still looks like a fucking badass. It's still believable.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think that what we're dealing with are two separate things. Will we see Sting wrestle full time, or, you know, is he even guaranteed to wrestle? No. However, Goldberg is guaranteed to wrestle. He's going to be doing that here in a couple of weeks. Just from the chat, Roxana says, I'm mad Oldberg gets a title shot at Royal Rumble when others should be in that spot more than him.
Who? That's the biggest question. Who? And not in the sense of, you know, you got to compare, hey, I want to see Matt Riddle get a shot at Drew McIntyre. Well, Matt Riddle is only going to bring you so many eyes. But if you're putting Goldberg out there and this is your, you know, one of your crown shows that you want to get attention to, also, Goldberg doesn't do anything in mucking up any plans that you have for going forward with Drew and WrestleMania. So you could have Drew beat Goldberg and it doesn't cause any, you know, any friction. Like, it's Goldberg won't be around for Drew to deal with. So it's almost a one-off, man.
Hmm. Okay. Simon Street, did you want to add anything on that?
I mean, I was just going to say, for the most part, people don't like Goldberg because, you know, it's very much been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But I do understand what Michael's saying. Is, you know, who would we fit in? And I think also a lot of it does also tie into, because what takes more time to build up somebody to go, you know, against Drew McIntyre for the title, you know, I don't think it would work. You know, as simple as solving the solution of we'll just stick Goldberg in there and have him have a match, and whether, you know, Drew beats him or whatnot. You know, I think it's good to have a Goldberg on standby or a legend on standby. I just don't like Goldberg. I love his music. That is epic. I fucking love it, you know, but I'm just tired of seeing Goldberg. And if that makes me a dick, well, fuck, I'm the biggest dick in the room.
You know, but it's funny. I love how I'm tired of seeing Goldberg. Okay. He has not been on a full schedule since 2004, or when he left at WrestleMania 20. He's been back three times, essentially. That's it.
That's less than Brock Lesnar, right?
Jesus. I mean, that's less than... shit. I mean, it's just amazing that this whole, I'm tired of seeing this guy. And it's like, how many times have you seen Randy Orton wrestle Bray Wyatt within the last 3 years? You know, how many times have you seen, you know, so-and-so wrestle so-and-so? It happens so commonly, yet you're not going, well, I'm sick of Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I hear you with that. The only thing that I will rebuttal that with is, at least with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, they're adding another layer of a story. I don't think I'm going to get a fucking layer when Goldberg goes up against Drew McIntyre. And I'm just saying Goldberg as himself.
But why do you need a story if he's not going to be around?
Because believe it or not, there's lots of different people who watch wrestling. Some people like to watch for stories and build up and continuity of content. Some people like to watch it for spots, like spot monkeys. And, you know, there are other people who like nostalgia feel. And that's why the people who do like Sting or Goldberg love that feeling. My only thing is I don't mind having a nostalgia feel. Just have it connect and mean something. This means fucking nothing. Mm. And I know I'm not alone when I say it. Maybe what I want to say, it's not so much that Goldberg we're tired of. We're tired of the way that it's being presented as a main course. It's not dressed up great. There's nothing to get excited about. Were you excited the last time you saw Goldberg, Matt Michaels? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Why were you excited? Why were you excited?
Because the guy has proven to me that he can still fucking tell a story in the ring and does his fucking job. And guess what? I know what his job is, and it's pretty damn entertaining and comfortable. I like
it. What was the highlight of his last match? That's what I probably should have asked you. What was the highlight of his last match that just made you have goosebumps? You're like, man, I can't fucking wait for him to come back. Because I just fucking
love him.
You gave me his work ethic. I asked you the pure question of what was so great about the last time he came. And I'm just saying, that sounded bad. What was the last time? what did you find excited about Goldberg the last time he was on WWE? And I think it was it in Saudi Arabia or whatever it was, the Jewel pay-per-view? I can't remember. No. It was when he beat He wrestled the Fiend. Wasn't it when he wrestled the Fiend or something like that around that time? Yeah. But I'm just saying, what was so exciting about that? I would have preferred to have him not go up for the title and just show up one day and okay, what the fuck is Oldberg doing? I don't know. I'm tired of seeing him this way.
Well, that's interesting, guys. Well, go ahead.
All I know is that I find it so funny that Michaels, you have this amazingly hot take about Goldberg still being able to go, yet you hate on Bobby fucking Lashley.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Bobby Lashley can't go.
Oh, Jesus.
What do you mean he can't go? I bet you $5 if Brock Lesnar Goldberg.
The last Raw, I thought Bobby Lashley put it down, but maybe I'll, you know.
You know what? Maybe the problem is Bobby Lashley to put it down on you.
Ooh.
All right, let's go into our three count here.
Three.
This stuff, guys, it's from Sports Gita. Oh,
I knew exactly you were going to say that. You were itching for that one, weren't you?
I know.
Yes,
I'm
12.
Yes.
All right, 5 wrestling rumors we hope are true and 5 we hope that aren't. And all I'm just going to do is just going to read each one, and then you guys can just choose the one that, you know, stands out to you the most. All right, so these are, first off, I'm going to go the top 5 hope is true. And I'll start with number 5 and work my way down. Ricochet's WWE contract status. WWE makes a big change to WrestleMania 37. Drew McIntyre status for WWE Royal Rumble 2021. Reason why WWE had Keith Lee break the turnbuckles on Raw. And Riddle's WWE contract status. So those are the titles there for Hope is True. Hope isn't true. Number 5, WWE offering significantly lower contracts to Retribution members. Number 4, 3 other WWE stars tested positive for COVID-19 along with Drew McIntyre. Number 3, WWE planning more romantic angles. Number 2, multiple WWE stars present on Raw weren't utilized. And then number 1, Paul Heyman denied a WWE star's request to face Brock Lesnar. All right, guys. There's 10 options here, but there's 5 you hope is true and 5 you hope that isn't true. I guess I'll go with you first, Simon Street. Out of all of those, which one you either hope is true or hope it isn't true, and tell us why.
Well, the one that I hope is true, just because I did like the last time they did it, is changes to WrestleMania Hollywood. I actually did enjoy the last time that they did it and all of the different movie type promos that different superstars did. That was pretty cool. And I hope that they do it again. To be honest with you, I thought it was creative and it's something that, you know, especially now with the COVID, I'm assuming it would still be COVID by then, but whether it is or isn't, I thought that that was a cool concept. And if they are going to do the same thing, I think it would just you know, just one up it, upgrade it.
What are you talking about? I'm confused.
He asked me to pick one of the people, one of the things that he listed, and one of them that was listed was Hope is True. WWE makes big changes to WrestleMania 37.
Okay, how does Hollywood tie into this?
Because of the location.
Anyone want to field this one? I just set you guys up. Go ahead. Anyone?
37 is not Hollywood.
Well, what is 37? Why is it on the damn article that Impact gave me? So I'm, you know, reading off the damn article. So
yeah, it was Rohit Nath. It was a problem with him. But
okay. All right.
Yeah, 37 is going to be in Tampa next year.
Oh, well, that's sad.
But yeah.
They announced this just a couple days ago, brother. So you got Tampa, and it's going to be two nights. And then you're going to have Dallas, and then you're going to have L.A.
So. Well, I'll be there for L.A. if COVID's not there. Not interested in fucking Dallas. And Tampa, well, even if COVID didn't hit this time, I wouldn't go. So.
But it's two nights.
So L.A. is closest.
Huh?
So L.A. is closest.
Well, and if they do L.A., let me put it this way. Let me remix it. And if they do L.A., I hope they do it like they did the WrestleMania that was in Hollywood. Let's put it that way. Okay, Let me redeem myself.
All right.
Now,
so, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, if they are doing it in Tampa, are they just going to just take what they didn't use this pass? Or, you know, like, do you think they're going to do something different? Because if there's a fucking pirate ship, I'm done.
We don't know anything about it, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course it's gonna be a pirate ship.
If it's gonna, I don't know, if it's gonna be at the football stadium, right?
Yeah.
So then the pirate ship is there.
Yeah. someone will probably jump off the top of it. Like Shane McMahon will do a dive off the top of the damn pirate ship.
Right. Something.
I guess maybe I'm just bitter about pirate ships, if you know what I mean.
Sucks to suck, bro.
It sucks to be a Saints fan today.
Man. All right, Sin City, bro. What story you either hope is true or not true?
I hope it's not true that WWE are planning more romantic angles. Obviously, we're seeing the horse shit going on right now with Ric Flair and Lacey Evans. Oh, Jesus.
You don't like here romantic angles, man?
Hey,
I want to see a tape come out.
You didn't like Otis and Mandy? That was a romantic angle.
That was good.
Okay.
That was weird.
All right.
Notice, though, he didn't say he has any problem with, like, a romantic storyline between, like, I don't know, Serena Deeb and Darby Allin.
That's because they're not doing that shit.
Well, as of this very second.
Of course.
But after they watch our program.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
Really taking it. Do it, guys. Please.
I'm already pissed off about the fact that I have to deal with a wedding on the show that I have to report on.
I fucking hate wrestling weddings.
They're the worst. They're the absolute dirt fucking worst.
Well, except for the Macho Man and Elizabeth. Outside of
I wish family. We could send you out there, Cincy, like to, as a journalist, to go, take care of this wedding.
Down.
Yeah. For this wedding, that'd be perfect.
Hey, all we need to do is just swipe that Vegas Bad Boys corporate credit card, and I am on my way.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Matt Michaels, how about you? What do you hope that it isn't true or is true?
Actually, honestly, I hope that this guy does not get paid to write this.
So, you bet your ass he does, man.
He got
paid per word.
In fact, they do these every week. You know, I just don't choose them every week, but they come
every week. Plus, take a look at all the ads that you see that auto-populate on these sites, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. No kidding. So,
yes.
My biggest problem with this whole thing was this idea of Paul Heyman denied a WWE star request to face Brock Lesnar.
Not buying it.
Well, He literally says every full-time WWE star has interest in working with Brock Lesnar, who is now arguably the biggest name in the company that has to offer, since he only works a few times a year. Not many WWE stars get to share the ring with him. One superstar who asked repeatedly was Kevin Owens. On Talking Smack, he revealed that he requested Paul Heyman numerous times for a match against the former WWE champion, but it never came to be, with Heyman simply shrugging it off. Quote, I know it. Heyman's concern about Owens is about as sincere as you were every single time I'd go to you these past 4 or 5 years and tell you, hey, I want to fight the beast incarnate. And you'd say, oh, I'll talk to him about it. That never happened, just like you don't care what happens to me at the Royal Rumble. We hope this isn't true, because Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar on WWE pay-per-view is a dream match, a dream feud,
right,
that the former has been calling now for a while. I just can't read this stuff and consider this anything other than absolute stupidity. I can't believe that this guy used something that was in a fucking worked show to be a number one reason. Boy, he hopes Kevin Owens hasn't been approaching him, and Heyman was the one who denied him being able to wrestle Lesnar. What? What?
You can't make this shit up.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. You actually think that Paul Heyman is the one that people have to go to wrestle Brock Lesnar? I don't know, man. I don't know. But apparently Paul's doing well as the owner of the company. So
doesn't it make you think sometimes, Michaels, that like the people who really don't know shit are the ones that get paid way more than the people who know shit and don't get paid anything?
Because the people who don't know shit are the more persuasive people to deal with. It's proven. You know, people who are complete fucking morons can get into, you know, positions that are just beyond them because they just are persuasive.
So they know somebody, or they had sex with somebody that makes the decisions.
Or they know somebody that they had sex with.
That too. Blackmail's a motherfucker.
Well, I guess that is our three count, fellas. What is your final comments for the week? Let's start with you, Simon Street.
Wasn't surprised you started with me, though.
Yeah.
Just you know, everybody, you know, thank you so much for watching our show, supporting us. Please continue to do so, and tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody, you know, start a random conversation, because sometimes, you know, that random conversation could turn into a new listen for us, and we appreciate if you're doing so. Other than that, everybody stay safe. Please wear a mask. Even if you don't like doing it, it's okay. You know, but being responsible can help save somebody's life.
Absolutely. And by the way, we have started a small campaign as well. Hey, if you feel the love to want to help us take our podcast to the next level, just Cash App us. You know, it's just use a little money sign, Vegas Bad Boys. Make sure you use that Z at the end. Don't put an S. Vegas Bad Boys. And donate whatever. We want. If you feel like a dollar's fine. You want to do five, you want to do 100, whatever amount you want to do, we're just helping us take to help us get to the next level. Again, we're starting our third year, and we see ourselves growing, but we want to even grow even faster. And we need your help, and we appreciate everything that you do. Help us to get to that level. Sin City Steve.
Really quick, before I give my final thought, we actually had a question in the Facebook chat from Roxana.
Okay.
She wanted to know what the deal was with the pay-per-view on January 26th. Actually, WWE had planned for the Superstar Spectacle, which was going to be a show that originated from India. To my knowledge, that is not going on at this time. So they may release something like... you know, just a network special or, you know, maybe a bunch of video packages or anything like that, but they're not actively promoting it on, you know, their TV.
Gotcha.
As far as final thoughts, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight in the chat. Speaking of that, thank you for, you know, liking, sharing, subscribing, all that kind of fun stuff. You guys really are the reason why we do this. So thank you so much. And special, special thank you to all of the brave men and women serving this country on lands, both foreign and domestic. Thank you for everything that you do as well. Repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all of your pre-workout, weight loss, and energy drink needs. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%. That's Repsports.com, REPPsports.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We got some donations on the phone right now. The lines are blowing up as we speak. Remember, bad boys with a Z. Yeah. Call in.
Once and you're already fucking blowing up, man.
Yeah, man. Again, we thank everybody for your small donations. Oh, what is that? How much? $10? Thank you so much. $10
donation.
There
we go. We got $10. Let's put it on the board. Let's put it on the board.
All right. We're slowly moving there, and we definitely appreciate
it. Hey, we just got 200 from Travis in L.A.
Oh, right. 200 from Travis.
Travis, wow. We appreciate it, man.
Gosh, what a guy. Dude, what a guy.
Yeah, he's always been riding with us from the beginning, so we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Now he's writing checks for us.
I do want to let everybody know one way you also can help us is when you're done with the podcast, when you finish listening, go to the platform comment and just write a comment about how much you enjoy the show, or, you know, maybe if you dislike someone from the show, maybe you love everyone from the show, just put a comment down. It helps us in that particular platform for you to write a comment for others to know what you think about it. All right. So we appreciate that as well. Matt Michaels.
You know, don't go burning the Capitals this week.
That's true.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck home.
I never think I'd have to say that to someone.
Right.
Let alone massive people, you know, across the country.
Yeah.
Burning Capitals, not so cool. So don't do it, please.
Yeah.
Just stay home and play Call of Duty.
Oh, there you go.
Called it duty.
He called the shit poo.
Well, at least he didn't talk about goats this time.
Okay, scat man.
Okay, golden. Well, I was going to call you something else, but let me stop.
Go ahead, Michael. Finish your thought, man. The producers are yelling in my ear. Okay.
I don't want to see the country on fire.
Right. All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you.
I can hear the producer yelling to go home.
Yeah, I said cut the shit short.
Right.
In fact, let's take it home.
Let's take it home. Everyone, thank you for listening. We truly appreciate it. We'll see you next week. All right. Until then, peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.